Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, everyone. How is everyone today? I hope and pray that you had a good night's sleep and that you are ready to hear a word from the Lord in James 2. And this morning, I will be reading from the NIV, the New International Version. But let's first open up in a word of prayer, and then we'll see what the Lord has to say in James 2. So let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning expectant, because your word is beautiful, your word is powerful, your word is life-changing. And we just praise you that we have access to your word. Lord, we are so blessed to live in the United States and have Bibles and online Bibles and on our phones everywhere. So Lord, may the access to your word, which is so great, just be an indicator of the impact of your word. May you speak through me and may it pierce our hearts and have a great impact in our lives. So there's a shift in our lives and a shift in the kingdom. So thank you again for your word. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that will be speaking to each one of us. And may you bring powerful fruit from today's reading. We love you, Lord, and we're so blessed to pray all of these things in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. All right, well, let's dive into James 2, which once again in the NIV reads, "My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here's a good seat for you,' but say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, 'Love your neighbor as yourself,' you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, 'You shall not commit adultery,' also said, 'You shall not murder.' If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. The word of the Lord. Woo! Hydrating for the soul. How many of you have already read and studied this well-known and powerful chapter, James 2, and/or participated in a SOAP on James 2? Scripture, observation, application, and prayer. If so, God always has something new. The scripture is the same, but the observation, application, and prayer are always being renewed and reapplied depending on our ongoing level of revelation and maturity. So, if this is a repeat soap for you, as it is for me, trust me, God has something special for you, a gentle reminder of, or a new rhema or revelation. And I wanted to give you an example of that in my life. I have read Matthew 11, 28 to 30 multiple times, which says, Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I return to this verse many times for comfort, for direction, for instruction, because life for me can be hectic and fast-paced, full of surprises, and this verse is always a gentle reminder for me to go to Jesus. But one time when I was returning to it and reading it yet again, just for what I thought was another reminder, I felt the Lord gave me a new revelation and he highlighted the final four words, which say, My burden is light. And the Lord downloaded a thought and calling that my burden is, in fact, light. The word burden, we always associate that with something being heavy and difficult, but it also means the main point, the message, or idea. And I felt that Jesus was personally saying to me that my main concern should be light, his light. Not that my burden isn't heavy, but that the main concern for me in my life is to share the light of Jesus in the midst of the hectic pace and all of the difficult surprises in life. So many times I think to myself, oh, this is heavy or this is hard. But the Lord reminds me, guess what? Your main burden, your main concern should be being filled with my light and sharing my light. So with that being said, if my main message or idea that God is calling me to is to share the light of Jesus, this is a powerful chapter, James 2, to point me in the direction of how to just do that. Of course, we want to share the light with everyone, but especially our family members who are not saved. And just our family members who are, because we want to be loving and we want to be the bright light of Jesus to everyone. Without even getting into the chapter, I find the fact that James, the half brother of Jesus, who wrote this book, I find this book so encouraging. Because if you remember back in Mark chapter 3, verses 20 to 21, scripture reveals, then Jesus entered a house. And again, a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." Obviously, James at some point had a change of heart and mind because the light of Jesus was so bright and so beautiful and so attractive. Just like, mosquitoes and flies are attracted to the light, we can't but help be attracted to the light of love and compassion and joy and peace. So this book encourages us to pray for our family members who might think we are out of our minds, or those who have not come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. So take some time today and pray for our family members, your family members, my family members. Put our faith into action and share the light of Jesus. Why? Why do we want to do this, even when we've done it before and it's difficult? Verse 1 is a bold reminder of who you are. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. We are part of the family of God. We are believers. Our Lord Jesus Christ is glorious. My life application has a cross reference for this verse in 1 Corinthians 2:8, which refers to Jesus as the Lord of glory. By the way, if your Bible doesn't have cross references, that's a beautiful thing to invest in because it deepens our understanding and connects the word with Old Testament, with additional New Testament. So make sure that your Bible has some cross reference points in it because that will help you to study the Bible. So here we are. James gives the family of God practical guidelines on how to share this light of Jesus and on healthy living, so that our light shines brightly and we're not hypocrites, including that if you want to share the light, favoritism is forbidden. Or another title in my commentary, condemnation of partiality. We must not show favoritism. It doesn't sound like a suggestion, but a command. The believer's commentary says, favoritism is utterly foreign to the example of the Lord or the teachings of the New Testament. There is no place in Christianity for snobbishness or discrimination. Contempt for others because of birth, race, sex, or poverty is practically a denial of the faith. Our obligation as believers is to give practical expression to the truth that all believers are one in Christ Jesus. Now that's a powerful light. And one of my favorite aspects about Fusion Church is that I believe our diversity truly represents that truth and shares the light of Jesus with everyone. That's a good thing because James tells us why we should repent from this sin in verse 4. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Not only are we playing judge, and by the way, that's God's job, but we may have motives that don't glorify the Lord. That's our job to glorify the Lord. Some notes in my Life Application Bible share. James condemns acts of favoritism. Often we treat a well-dressed, impressive-looking person better than someone who looks shabby. We do this because we would rather identify with successful people than with apparent failures. The irony, as James reminds us, is that the supposed winners may have gained their impressive lifestyle at our expense. In addition, the rich find it difficult to identify with the Lord Jesus, who came as a humble servant. Are you easily impressed by status, wealth, or fame? Are you partial to the haves while ignoring the have-nots? This attitude is sinful. God views all people as equals, and if he favors anyone, it is the poor and the powerless. We should follow his example. And my notes continue in the Life Application Bible. By honoring someone just because he or she dresses well, we are making appearance more important than character. Woo! We are making appearance more important than character. I want to repeat that yet once again. How many times are we making appearance more important than character? Sometimes we do this because one, poverty makes us uncomfortable. We don't want to face our responsibility to those who have less than we do. We want to be wealthy too, number two, and we hope to use the rich person as a means to that end. Number three, we want the rich person to join our church and help support it financially. All these motives are selfish. They view neither the rich nor the poor person as a human being in need of fellowship. If we say that Christ is our Lord, then we must live as he requires, showing no favoritism and loving all people, regardless of whether they are rich or poor. If you need to evaluate yourself in this area, James gives you the measuring stick in verse 8, the royal law. He says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. Have you experienced the love of Jesus and the gift of salvation? Then we should do everything in our power to ensure that our neighbor has the opportunity to know our Savior. AKA, we have to have the burden to carry the light of Jesus so others get to experience his love like we do. Speaking of love, I love verse 5 in this chapter, which says, listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? Just ask any Fusion volunteer who has gone on a mission trip to Los Cocos in the Dominican Republic about the beautiful and amazing joy that this impoverished community has and shares with us. In addition, I think of a dear friend of mine who is also a mentor to me, and she once said, never pray something unless you are willing to be used by God to answer that prayer if he calls you to answer it. AKA, we can't use prayer as a substitute for action because action is a powerful form of light. So we have the poor. What do we do? What should we do? James tells us to put our faith into action. And goes as far as saying in verse 17, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Another thing that I love about Faith Fusion is I feel that the outreach program, the many, many opportunities, is very, very strong, and that we do share our light by going to the poor on many different occasions. And if we need additional push to participate in that. A side note that I want to make sure that we understand before we jump into all the different outreach activities is that the Bible clearly states and explains that we are to put our faith in action and we are to engage in deeds, but deeds are not God's number one goal for us. His primary desire is for us to be in an intimate relationship with him. And then the works will naturally flow, and you can take advantage of all the beautiful and many opportunities that Fusion offers. But the deeds never supersede the relationship. Let me repeat that again. The deeds never supersede the relationship. Many years ago, when I was caught up in being a super servant, A dear friend of mine said, "Your epitaph is going to read, 'She died from volunteerism.'" And I think of that many times. So I confess, sometimes I act like I'm working for God instead of acting like his daughter and sitting at his feet and spending time for him. I have so many Christian deeds on my list that my relationship with the Lord suffers. You can't share the light of Jesus if your batteries aren't charged. So that's why my visual aid today is a flashlight. If my batteries are not charged, it does not shine. Sure, I can carry this thing around and still do things, but I am not shining the light of Christ. That's why it's super important for us to spend time with Him, not just in soap, not just in connect groups, even though those two things are so important. I'm talking about that one-on-one time, that intimate time where He recharges your batteries. Because let me tell you all know when we go out in this world, we're going to be drained and we need to be recharged in order to share that light with anyone. We've already talked about our family members. We've talked about the poor. We've talked about our neighbors. We need to be recharged in order to do that. So, to shine effectively, make sure that you are spending that intimate time with Jesus. And then, once again, the deeds will naturally come. And, but don't just sit at his feet, because the other swing of the pendulum is just as bad. Verse 17 is worth repeating. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. James even gives an example of this. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? Many of you know that we just celebrated as a giving moment at Fusion that we built our 180th home in the Dominican Republic during a recent mission trip. And the homes are for people who live in shacks with dirt floors, little opportunity for employment. In the rainy season, the family lives in a mud pit because they have a dirt floor. And in the dry season, it's a dust ball. And because of that, there are many health issues. So, how can we share with them the light and love of Jesus without addressing their extreme basic needs? Because we have combined the sharing of the gospel with deeds of meeting their needs. They get to see the gospel in action, and we are able to shine the light of Jesus more brightly, and it's much more of a powerful impact. And I know that the last time I shared James 2, I not only talked about our international outreach in the DR, I also gave the example of our one of our many domestic outreaches, the AC Street Team. And I believe they have been so successful in showing the light and love of Jesus. They have taken the burden of light and done something with it. They put their faith into action and they see literally brothers and sisters without clothes and daily food, and they respond. Their deeds not only have shared the gospel and provided food and clothing, but have built trust. Relationships, ongoing relationships and friendships. And because of that, they have seen miraculous life change happening for many of them, including themselves. And now they've taken many of them that serve in AC are now serving at the Ventnor Community Church, which is now Fusion's church. So I can't say how proud I am of them. And if you're wondering, no, this isn't a commercial for the DR mission trip, but Fusion is going in November if you're called to go. And no, it's not a plug for the AC Street team, but you can join them the second Saturday of each month if you're called to it, Remember, pray about those callings. You want to make sure you're called so that you're effective and so that you're still sitting at the feet of Jesus. If you have an intimate relationship with the Lord, you will be able to discover and he will reveal his calling to you. Not everyone is called to every single opportunity. We have to find out what our personal calling is. But no matter what it is, you are called to some kind of service. If you aren't currently serving in some type of outreach at Fusion or on a team on Sundays, you are missing out. And I would highly recommend to take your faith to the next level and just do it. Why? Why do we just do it? James continues that there has to be both faith and deeds. He boldly exclaims in verse 19, "You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." Ooh, even the demons, even our enemy believes in God, but they don't shine the light. They try to take the batteries, not only stop the light, but take the batteries out, smash the light, throw the flashlight into the garbage. So, make sure that we are doing a beautiful balance of both faith and deeds. And how do we know that balance? Once again, spend time with the Lord because belief is not enough. You must respond to that faith with obedience, which will result in deeds. Still confused? Don't worry, God's word answers. James gives an awesome example of the balance of faith and action coexisting and operating in a way that glorifies God. He gives the example of Father Abraham. If you'd like to read more about this amazing example, Abraham's story is found in the book of Genesis. James declares in verse 22, you see that his faith and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. The verses that follow are worth reading again, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. That's a beautiful relationship, friendship. So I know I want to be called God's friend. And not his employee or a bystander watching others be friends with God. How about you? I can only assume that you would like a friendship with God since you are on this soap at 6 a.m. or tuning into it later on a podcast. And if the example of Abraham doesn't resonate with you, James gives another example of Rahab, who was a prostitute. Her story is found in Joshua 2. She lived in Jericho, a city that the Israelites conquered as they entered the promised land. She hid the spies from Israel who were checking out Jericho and then helped them escape the city. She had faith in God's purpose for Israel, and because of her faith, followed by action, her family and she were saved when the city was destroyed. Rahab is listed in the Hall of Fame of the Heroes of Faith in Hebrews 11. So, if James's argument has not convinced you yet, listen to this closing statement that the Holy Spirit wants to boldly state. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. May God use this soap, whether it was something new that I said or something that I repeated from the previous one. To sharpen our balance of faith and deeds so that our yoke is easy and our burden is light, the light of Christ. We need to go out today and share that light, no matter what you're doing, whether you're going to ShopRite or Acme, or you're headed into work, or you're driving and someone cuts you off. Remember that faith and deeds go hand in hand. I may have shared this before, but when Fusion years ago first started giving out the bumper stickers, I was like, uh-oh, I don't know if I should take one of those because my faith doesn't always match up to my deeds. I tend to be running late and I confess I speed, or I tend to get frustrated. I don't do road rage, but if someone cuts me off, I definitely can get frustrated. So I actually ended up getting the bumper sticker to help me to remind myself that faith and deeds go hand in hand. Anything from as simple as driving to more powerful things, such as serving in Atlantic City, going to the DR, joining a connect group, helping out with Project Orange, or any other way that you could serve on a Sunday morning. So let's close in a word of prayer and once again seek the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit to help us sharpen that balance between faith and deeds and go out so that we are sharing the love and light of Jesus. So, Lord, we just pause from diving into James 2 and we ask yet once again that the Holy Spirit would be our guide, would be our teacher, would give us the help that we need that Pastor Brendan preached about. And this past Sunday, what is our calling for each one of us? So, Lord, we seek you today, asking for wisdom and direction. We ask that your word in James 2 would not return void, and that we would have a shift in our lives today, which would cause a shift in the kingdom, because we are going to be a powerful source of your light and love if we obey your calling and figure out this balance thing. Not on our own, but with the assistance of the Holy Spirit and by spending intimate time with you and in your word. Lord, I thank you for each person on this call, and I ask that you would bless them, anoint them, grant them favor, and let them be a powerful source of your light today to this dying world. Thank you, Lord, for that beautiful burden, which is not a heavy load. It is light because of your presence. We love you, Lord, and we are so blessed to pray all of these things in your matchless name. Amen. Have a good day, everyone.